Send a movie idea.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules are simple. We can discuss as many ideas as we like, but only one can be taken to the next stage, where it'll be pitched to Netflix, with Adam Sandler cast as the lead, support, love interest, and quirky sidekick. I'm Joel, a man who puts the curve in scurvy. That sort of works. And across from me is John Harris, a man who has never been to Gloucester owing to a long-standing family curse. And joining us, John.
Yes.
Very excited to be joined by Luke Ibbotson. And we've just had a lengthy conversation about how to pronounce your surname.
And you did a very good job.
You claim to be the only Ibbotsons on Earth.
Not on Earth.
That's what you were saying before we hit record, mate.
My family. Yeah. Other Ibbotsons as
well. You said that your family had gone back in the day, hopped on longboats,
yep,
gone around murdering every other Ibbotson they could find.
I thought we said we'd keep that secret.
We're going to pitch some films, and then we're going to plug your wares at the end of the show. How does that sound?
That sounds fantastic.
John, thank give you. Us a film pitch. Give us a film pitch!
What about this one from Kim, The Jungle Notebook?
Yeah,
has
nice.
Anyone seen The Notebook?
Yeah, I have.
Talk me through it.
It's kind of a love... like a very sad love story. I think it's a Nicholas Sparks book,
yes,
originally.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's kind of a really soppy, sentimental love story where they're apart for years and then they're together again. How would you combine that with Jungle? I suppose Jungle Book is like that. Doesn't Mowgli get separated?
It's the Gosling breakthrough role, right?
Yeah. So it's Amy Adams?
Amy Adams.
Yeah. No.
Right, Rachel McAdams.
Rachel McAdams, yeah. one of the famous Adams.
Rachel McAdams, Ryan Gosling. He's got a beard. He looks very hunky.
I think of course he looks hunky.
Yeah. It's the first role where ladies, you know, started thinking he's going to be on my wall on posters, right?
Not just ladies, mate.
Men too. Apologies, you're correct.
I mean, I'm not a lady. There was a stirring in my loins. I don't really know much. I have seen it. I know he builds a house.
He does. And I remember he hangs from a Ferris wheel in some sort of weird decoration.
Oh, he does.
Of love,
yeah, he hangs from a Ferris wheel.
And then threatens to kill himself if she doesn't go on a date with him. Which, by now standards, is pretty...
Yeah, it's kind of full on, isn't it?
Yeah, he's putting a lot out there.
How at risk have you ever...
himself?
Yeah, well, he's hanging from the Ferris wheel and he's like, you don't go on a date with me, I'm going to let go. I think maybe then at one point he drops to one hand.
He does.
Which is, you know... A, risky, but B, a show of how strong he is. It's quite clever. And then he sort of lets each finger go, and it's just the little finger by the end.
Joel has never been so simultaneously aroused and scared.
Well, John, what's the most dangerous position you'd put yourself in for a date?
I might put my hand over, like, a candle flame.
I was thinking mousetrap.
8, 7. What? Just touch a mousetrap?
No, it'd be hovering over the cheese. I'd be like, I'm going to do it. If you don't go on a date with me, I'll eat this cheese.
I don't understand. Is he trying to get a date with a mouse or a cat? Or
There's a rigged mousetrap.
Yeah.
Because there's a mouse infestation in the house.
I see.
Peter asking where it is. It's been seen on the stairs. And
my potential suitor's going to be annoyed that I'm wasting the mousetraps that are supposed to be for mice trying to get a date.
Yeah, well, she was probably annoyed. She's having a lovely time on the Ferris wheel. And a man... I'm not saying that we're not annoying women, because I've spent most of my life doing that. What I'm saying is, Luke, how at risk would you put yourself to get a date? Shark Tank? With loose bars?
Maybe. How loose?
If the shark went for the tank a third time, it'd nab you. So what you'd have to hope is that she would acquiesce to the date in that time, but she'd also have to communicate that to you using sign language because you're both underwater.
Any woman with any self-respect would pretty much immediately, after one good thrust by the shark, would say yes to a date. So yeah, I'm going with that.
After one good thrust?
Yeah, that's it.
Would you wear a meat scuba suit?
Great question, John.
Yeah.
Luke, would you wear a meat scuba suit?
Yeah, I mean, I never thought I'd be asked that on the podcast
before. it's got nothing to do with the last question. John's got a new project.
Yeah?
He's trying to get this Kickstarter off the ground. Did you know that a shark can smell one slice breaded ham in a million slices of wholemeal bread?
Is that right?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
So the famous fact that everyone wheels out about sharks is that they can smell one drop of blood in a million drops of water. You're going to build a super scuba suit out of meat. So the joke was, a shark can sense one slice of ham in a million slices of bread.
So Luke's going to wear the meat suit in the middle of the world's biggest sandwich.
Yeah.
And we're going to let
but
a shark
point,
on it.
At that point, how much of the ocean has been soaked up? You've got to wonder. Because bread, very good for mopping up juices.
Very, very good. Very good.
Would you just have a shark like limping on dry ground?
Wouldn't be dry, it'd be more soggy.
Yeah.
How much bread would a shark eat through knowing there was some meat at the end of it?
I don't think any. It's against his diet.
It's gluten free.
Yeah. I mean, why would he eat bread? No matter how up for it he was for the. He'd just probably dig for
would
it.
Would a shark eat bread? Tweet us. If we've got any marine biologists listening that know much about the dietary requirements of sharks. Because
the
to
Jungle
know,
Notebook.
Yes, anyway, The Jungle Notebook. Does that answer your question, mate? Is that a film pitch?
Can't remember. All I know is so far, The Jungle Notebook is mostly about making women feel really uncomfortable, and I don't feel comfortable about that.
No, so let's move on from that. The Notebook, we don't really know the plot of it apart from a bit where he hangs from a Ferris wheel and a bit
Baloo
where he builds a house.
Baloo would be able to do that with ease. That wouldn't even be a threat.
Yeah, but can Baloo build a house?
Doesn't he have a house?
Baloo?
In the newest
Who
one.
Built that house?
In the new one. I'm sure he has a house. Am I going crazy?
Who's Baloo?
He's the bear.
He's
the bear. I'm sure he has a house. Or am I thinking of Bear in the Big Blue House, the TV show from the 90s?
Where have we gone?
Sorry.
Baloo doesn't have a house. Baloo's just chill. He's Bill
Murray.
Where
does he live? Where do bears live?
The woods.
Yeah, but do they have, like, I don't want to say a stupid word, but do they have a burrow?
But caves?
Bears traditionally live in caves,
yeah.
Right? But are there enough caves for the bears?
I've never seen a cave.
I've seen a few, like, Chislehurst caves. They're quite a famous attraction. But I know that the Who gigged there in the 60s, but I don't know of any bears living there. John, have you ever been in a cave?
Right.
Where do bears live?
Luke,
we know where they shit.
Luke, I don't know whether this is directly linked to you being here, but those were some of the weirdest questions that have ever been posed.
Where do bears live is not a stupid question. Do they just sleep in the woods?
Yeah.
Without any covering? Well, it's raining.
Fur.
And it's snowing.
Oh, fur, yeah, because a dog doesn't go into a kennel, does it? Stupid.
Where do
wolves don't go into kennels,
do
they?
Where do wolves live?
Where do big wild animals live?
I think just outside.
They just live outside?
Yeah.
Well, they just lay down.
I'm really...
Do they have, like, a favourite bit they lie down on?
No idea. This is great,
I'm really scared we're going to cut to 15 minutes time and it's just Joel going, where do kangaroos sleep?
A very good question. But it's a lot warmer in Australia.
For fuck's
sake. If anything, they have difficulty getting to sleep out in the wild. So they need covering for a completely different reason. Mm. I just don't believe that when it comes to hibernation season, a bear just lies down for 6 months. And I also don't believe there are enough caves for the, frankly, overpopulated woods of America. There can't be enough caves to every woods so that when a bear... Does a bear hibernate? Does it just climb up a tree and sleep? I literally have no idea. I don't know where big wild animals sleep when it's cold. And I'm worried about them now.
I think they've lasted this long. Surely they're fine. They've got a system in place, which obviously it's
a
working
system.
For them.
You can't just say a system.
I know,
no
just
one
because
room...
we don't know doesn't mean it
If we don't
it,
know,
it isn't
I'd be surprised if anyone knew.
What about that guy who lived with bears? The grizzly
man.
Yeah. He could have answered our questions, but sadly he's not with us anymore.
Did he live outside?
Did he have a house? Did Grizzly Man have a house?
Did Grizzly Man have a house?
That's a big question. I think we've sufficiently answered the plot synopsis for The Jungle Notebook.
John, move on to the next one.
What about this one? We've had someone's asked us for the Ghostbusters, but from the point of view of the ghost.
What? So what happens to them once they've been busted? It's quite an interesting question. Where do they sleep after that?
Fuck off!
Is it put to sleep, that ghost? Because ultimately, does a ghost want peace?
Do ghosts live in caves?
Asking all the important questions.
Scaring the bears away, so the bears have got nowhere to rest. Right.
Do you think a ghost could smell a ham sandwich from 1,000 miles away?
Look, important question for you, Luke.
Yeah.
Are the ghosts actually happy to be busted? Because aren't ghosts not really supposed to be on Earth? They just have unfinished business.
Yeah.
So once they've been busted, is that happy days for
that
the ghost?
That wasn't the finish. Like, that wasn't the business they wanted finishing, though. Yeah. Before I die, I really want to get busted by the ghost.
Unless there was a human.
Oh, great, finally.
Yeah. Oh, unless there was a human, yeah, that's how he wanted to go.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, is that just cutting out the middleman? Because they can't finish their business. So maybe they're like, oh, great.
I don't think that they're not going to a better place, though. Yeah. It's kind of established in the film they're put into that container.
Yeah, I think it's just
doesn't
some
look
sort of
very
infinite limbo.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's kind of irresponsible of the ghost. I mean, they even say that in the film. You don't know what's going on in there.
And
I don't know what it's called, where they put them when they...
The yellow canisters.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah.
What have ghosts done to deserve this infinite...
Being busted.
Like, solitude.
Really, it's just hijinks.
Yeah,
hijinks.
They don't really get into any really bad scrapes. They just kind of... Gets Dan Aykroyd a blowjob.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's not a
he probably
crime.
Didn't bust that ghost.
He bust something. A nut.
That's not a crime so long as he's consented. And from what I remember, he did consent.
He did.
Mm. So that's fine. What we need is some sort of ghost lawyer.
Yeah.
To establish ghost
rights.
We do,
yeah.
And I don't know what more... Is it a courtroom drama?
What was Patrick Swayze's occupation in Ghost? Because he's like a sculptor or something.
Yeah.
Potter. General Potter.
General Potter.
Yeah.
He's not going to be useful then.
No.
No. A ghost lawyer. So we need a lawyer to die with unfinished business. And his unfinished business is that he's very anti the mistreatment of ghosts.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What, and then... What happens here? Ghosts take Ghostbusters to court?
Yeah, the ghosts take Ghostbusters to court. And they have to be established because, you know, like, they're not human, so they don't have human rights yet. So we need to establish...
Are ghosts human?
Whether ghosts are worthy of human rights.
Ever seen a ghost, Luke?
No.
Got have any you? Belief there?
No, not really.
No, me neither.
I wish I did. That would be nice.
It'd be good. I'd love to see a ghost.
This is getting pretty deep, but yeah, it'd be really nice to know that was something beyond.
John, would you like to see a ghost?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, mate. Friendly one.
Casper.
Is Casper the only friendly
one? Can ghosts age?
I'm sure. Ghost.
Ghosts don't age. You're you mental.
Patrick Swayze in Ghost. He was a nice one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was a good fella.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hang on, what? He was a what?
Good fella.
Hang on.
He was a good old fella.
Oh, right. Not an Italian-American gangster.
No, he was a good fella.
We're getting it. I mean, I have completely lost what's going on in this episode.
It's the weirdest. Right. So, Casper.
Yeah.
And Patrick Swayze. And so then we've got a courtroom full of ghosts,
mm-hmm.
and we've got a judge who doesn't believe in ghosts.
Nice, yeah.
Wait, what?
Don't know. I don't really know why he's turned up for work.
This is an easy day.
Yeah.
And then,
it's just the prosecution.
And then she just hits the gavel.
No, she tries to hit the gavel, and there's some resistance.
Oh,
she's like, what's happening here?
Uh-oh.
A bit of ectoplasm.
It's a bloody ghost. No, it's not ectoplasm. It's literally a ghost hand.
Oh, and then that makes her believe.
Yeah.
And, by the way, this isn't a sequel to the recent one. This is a sequel to the...
thanks for clearing that up. I think a lot of people are probably thinking...
1984.
Yeah, no, a lot of people are thinking, yeah, this is all well and good. And I'm completely with this and understanding it. But which, just to clarify, which Ghostbusters is this a sequel to?
There is a sequel to Ghostbusters, by the way. You know?
Yeah.
But, okay,
it has a courtroom scene in it at the beginning.
Oh,
and there's
shit.
The two criminal ghosts who the Ghostbusters capture. Is this not ringing any bells?
Oh, God.
No.
Have we just accidentally made Ghostbusters 2?
There you are. We've just pitched Ghostbusters 2. Luke, you said that you brought along some film ideas.
I did.
Hit us with one.
Snakes on a plane, train, and automobile.
All right, so the snakes have got everywhere. Inevitable, really.
Yeah.
One's got to ask how they even got to the plane in the first place.
It was on
I'm liking it.
Container, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It broke open with some... some gas, I believe.
What I'm saying is, was that delivered by train or by automobile?
So it's a prequel.
It's a prequel. It's a prequel.
So that's how it got onto the
Yeah,
plane.
Exactly.
It's quite
right,
a
yeah.
dull transportation film, actually.
No, it's not, mate. Because there were actually four snake containers, but only one made it onto the plane.
So what happened to the other three?
One was on a train.
Yep.
One was in an automobile.
Okay.
And the other was wrongfully delivered to an old couple's house in Basingstoke.
Okay.
But they were expecting a package of exactly the same dimensions. Oh, so they took it into the house after removing the front bay window. and then they were excitedly sort of unboxed.
Thought it was a new sofa bed.
They thought it was a new sofa bed, which they'd ordered because they have trouble getting up the stairs. Very sad, actually. And then they had to crack open the box, and it was loads of snakes. But fortunately, the old man is Samuel L. Jackson playing the old character from...
Black Snake Moan?
Django.
Django. So he is playing the old man from Django, and he sets about killing all of the snakes in this motherfucking bungalow. Yeah, I've had it with these motherfucking snakes in this motherfucking bungalow in Basingstoke.
I like the idea. So you've got that... so there's planes. We've already ticked that off.
Yep.
Opening sequence, we have one in a plane.
Yep.
The train. It's like Train to Busan. So we can have some lovely closed door bits and stuff. And then you never see one on a single automobile until the very last sequence. And it's just a snake driving a
car.
Credits.
That's really good. Can I ask what happens to the sofa bed? What they ordered?
Yeah. So
where did that go?
That's cleared up in a post-credit scene.
Okay.
There's like a big Bond-style villain, and he's like, unleash the snakes! And it just opens, it's just an IKEA sofa.
Yeah, there's two, like two agents strapped to the floor of a pit, and he goes, unleash the snakes! And just this sofa just falls out into the pit.
That's a great post-credit little.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
That's an excellent suggestion, Luke. Thank you very much. John, have you got any more?
It's a that is a film that is really, really average, and then there's just two really great scenes at the end.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
What about this one? Dwayne the Boris Johnson.
Hang on. Right, good. Is it Boris playing Dwayne or Dwayne playing Boris? Or is it a body swap?
I thought it was like a modern version of Twins.
Oh, nice.
I don't really remember what happens in Twins. They're twins, I assume.
Yeah, but I think one, they're both made from the same DNA, but one is like the rejects, which is Danny DeVito.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, it is.
I would never reject
like Arnold Schwarzenegger is like the perfect man. And then he was like the leftovers.
Luke, an important question for you, Luke. When John said Dwayne the Boris the Johnson, I can't remember how it was worded. What did you immediately imagine?
I imagined Boris Johnson muscly.
Interesting. That's interesting because I imagined The Rock in a blonde wig. John, when you wrote it, what did you imagine?
I didn't write this one.
Okay.
It's from Alice.
All right, Alice.
What did Alice?
What was Alice thinking?
Should we send her an email and wait for it to go back?
Okay, so
do you think it's like Dwayne, like as in an ad? Is it adjective? Dwayne the Boris Johnson, like Dwayne him.
I don't know.
Since when is Dwayne an adjective?
Oh, soon.
To Dwayne him.
It'll be soon enough.
Dwayne the Swamp.
The Rock owns everything. Soon he'll own new words and new meanings for words.
Yeah, the Tory party.
Dwayne the Swamp.
Dwayne the Swamp. Yeah, I just said Dwayne the Swamp. There's another film pitch for you there. Yeah, so
I... That was very good.
Dwayne the Rock Johnson wants to run for president.
Yeah.
But because of some sort of reason in his lineage, or he doesn't qualify, basically. Mm. So he chases a political career in the UK.
His birth certificate, there's a typo on it, and it doesn't say USA, it says UK.
It says UK, yeah. He's like, I had no idea. So he goes over to the UK, where he immediately befriends Boris Johnson.
Uh-oh.
And they become the first ever joint prime ministerial campaign.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what would happen? Like, would it chronicle their entire, like, career? Or would it just be the run-up to the election
candidates? I think it's the run-up to the election. We've got to set ourselves up for a franchise here.
Okay.
I think it's the run-up to the election. I think Theresa May's gone. Brexit's been, you know, it's been tough for everyone. And the cabinet's been cleared out. And Boris Johnson, as predictably, Boris Johnson's the only man left standing. And he's like, I need to rebuild this Tory party from scratch. Coincidentally, The Rock just landed in London. And he's like, we need to change our image. We need to modernise.
We need to be cool.
Yeah, we need to be cool. Let's get The Rock. As a result, Jeremy Corbyn recruits Triple H. And whoever the Lib Dem leader is at that point recruits Scotty Too Hoy.
There's a great bit where there's a television and there's a news journalist pundit and he goes, oh, this is an absolute nightmare. This guy knows absolutely nothing about politics. And there's also The Rock. Wait, did I do that right?
Yeah, you did.
I didn't.
Right.
But I lost all confidence in it as I finished the joke.
I could hear that in your voice.
Yeah.
I still liked it.
We were both really supporting you then as well. Like, go on, John.
They're both touching my knee and patting me on the back as we speak. It's very, very comforting.
We took a knee each. I like that. Thanks, Alice. That's a good suggestion.
Would you like my idea?
Yes.
I've got a horror film, a tech horror. They've been done before.
Yeah, that one where...
Unfriended?
That's what I was going to say, yeah.
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 Is that the one that's...
It's Skype.
Yeah, so it's all done on the screen, which is a really clever little thing. I didn't see it, but I'd imagine... Is it one of those things that gets frustrating after a while? Like, there's the one they did from a shoot-'em-up style from the point of view of the main character.
Oh,
the
whole way through. Yeah. I forgot.
Hardcore.
Yeah.
Is it just hardcore?
It's like a GoPro style.
Yeah.
Thing. Wasn't there that horror film they did all entirely from the point of view of...
Elijah Wood,
yeah.
Yeah. Not a character played by Elijah Wood.
No, it was from the point of view of Elijah Wood in a horror film.
It was originally going to be a documentary about Elijah Wood from his point of view.
He just started murdering people, and they had to be like, this is definitely a work of fiction.
Yeah.
And not what was happening. Yeah, come on then.
Rear Windows 98.
Great. Brilliant. Brilliant. Stop the podcast there. Say no more.
That's great.
I don't know why it's 98. I just think it's the most iconic iteration of Windows, right? XP?
We're not debating this. We're not debating this. Not after the sandwich in the sea debacle. We are just accepting that 98 was an iconic operating system.
It's the most iconic. I agree.
Yeah.
I can
still
picture the menu screen and everything. It's so iconic. I'm really supporting your idea.
So, period piece, late 90s. Would there have been of like really early dial-up internet-y kind of things? Actually, it doesn't even need that. It's just he starts getting weird messages on the computer.
From the paperclip. Is the paperclip the bad guy?
I love this. I absolutely love this idea.
So the paperclip turns against him and he thinks that he can just turn it off and he keeps hearing the paperclip. What do you think?
What, and the paperclip tries to kill him?
Yeah.
So there's no going to be like... voyeurism.
But you need a bit, but I imagine a really good line where the paperclip would say, like, I've got a tip for you, run. And then he's looking at it, and then. So maybe the paperclip is helping him in this
nice
scenario.
Great.
Yeah.
I really like it. He's always like, fuck off, annoying paperclip, which is what everyone was like.
And it's like, really? Yeah. And he's all ignoring the paperclip, but it's trying to save him.
Oh, brilliant.
Great.
It appears that you are in the final moments of your life. There needs to be some sort of voyeuristic element, like he's using his computer to spy on people or something. Like
he's the one being spied on.
So someone's looking through his window to see his Windows 98.
Yeah.
And then window has an all new meaning then.
Yeah. Oh, double window.
Yeah.
Mise en abyme, that's a frame within a frame. The frame of the computer screen within the frame of the window.
Very good, very good.
Bit of film studies for you there. And that's it, and he dies at the end.
And you could have the window shutdown music when he dies.
Yes.
Yeah, doom, doom. I can't remember how it went, but it was something like that.
Boom, 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 boom. That's a much more recent iteration of Windows, but you remember it when you hear it in the end of the film.
Exactly right. So is the twist that the paperclip was in on it all along?
Yeah.
Mm. Great.
But how does a digital paperclip kill a man?
through giving him bad advice.
Yeah.
So he gives him a series of, he's like, if you want to get away from this, go downstairs and then, I don't know, put some metal in the microwave. You know, gives him bad tips.
And he's like, he tries to flee, but he can't just transfer the paperclip onto like his smartphone because it doesn't exist. So he has to take his clunky desktop computer with him everywhere.
He should have been suspicious that something was up when the computer was working, even when not plugged into a wall.
Well, I was going to say he had to keep plugging it in to get further advice from the paperclip. So he'd be at like a rundown garage on the motorway just trying to find enough plugs to sit there with his massive desktop computer.
There's a really excellent sequence where he's getting out his rig and the bit under the mouse falls out, the little ball, down the road and he has to like run across a motorway to grab the little ball because you're lost without that. I remember at school when you'd take it out and you'd like take them out of all the other mice in the class at IT class and no one could do anything.
What would you do with the balls?
They were quite heavy.
Put them in my mouth.
Mouth.
I think that's it. Rear Windows 98.
I really like it. It's great.
Thank you.
Have we got one more from you, Luke?
I have.
Well, I say one more. You've got reams of it.
I have. I like to plan.
John, what would you like to hear from Luke? Would you like him to pick his best one or... do you want a section of quickfire film pictures?
Pictures a couple, and then we'll go in deep on what we like.
I like that. Okay, there's Lock, Stock, and Double Barrel Names.
Nice, very good.
So
very
it's posh. Just the same film, but with, you know, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Nice.
Etc.
Mostly modern footballs.
Tara Power Tompkinson.
Okay, good. Okay.
I've got Michael Clarke Duncan. I had to write his name down just in case I forgot. Another one I've got is Muppets Christmas Carol Vorderman.
Nice, okay, yeah. So again, Michael Caine's gone, Vorderman's in.
Exactly.
A more sort of conundrum-based Christmas carol.
And
a Christmas
more
conundrum.
Numerical. Yeah, so definitely like throughout there's, you know, number games.
Yeah, it's actually a lot more based around the accounting business.
Yeah, it's really focused on...
Yeah, on Scrooge's accounting business. Okay, nice.
That was the best one. Dunkirk Van Houten. So it's basically Dunkirk, but through the eyes of... Milhouse's dad.
Right, okay, so Dunkirk reimagined as an animation and somehow Milhouse's hapless dad has arrived.
Oh, you have no idea. He gets into some scrapes.
The capers he would find himself in on the beach at Dunkirk.
I thought it was just going to be Milhouse's dad watching the Christopher Nolan film.
Well, I actually thought Denise Van Outen was going to be in there because I didn't make the connection it was a Simpsons character immediately.
So if that would have been better.
But I thought it made no sense. Yeah. I thought it made no sense. I thought you just said Dunkirk, Van Outen. All right, well, I'll stick with it.
He's
a guest, so I'll be polite, but it seems mad.
It's just like going, get out, Paul McCartney.
I would never say that to Paul McCartney. All right, some excellent pictures.
Yeah.
I have a quick question. What was the second one? Oh, Carol Vorderman. So she's visited by three ghosts.
Yeah, the three former presenters of the show, I imagine.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And what lesson does she have to learn? Is it that not everything is about numbers?
And letters.
Yeah. You're missing a key tenet of Countdown there, John.
Yes.
I just feel like it's harder to justify the idea that life isn't just all about numbers and letters, because in some ways I guess it kind of is. It can all be broken down to numbers and letters, can't it?
I suppose when you go deep enough, it's all numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
maybe Carol teaches the ghost a thing or two.
Yeah,
saves
that's a good spin.
That way.
That's a good spin.
Thanks. Yeah. And they get ghost rates.
They get what?
Ghost rates.
I'm glad I thought you said something else.
Terrible there. Yeah. I'm still not entirely sure what you're saying.
Like rates on their interest loans? And...
I'll say it once more. And they get ghost rights.
It's a callback.
That's good.
Oh, great.
If I said it more confidently, I wouldn't need 5 minutes of consoling and patting on the knee again.
How about my idea? Night at the Mausoleum.
Oh.
It's a family-friendly comedy. Ben Stiller's there.
Yeah.
He's left the museum because it's got too much for him. it's getting out of hand. There's more and more historical characters all the time. And he's like, do you know what? I want to get some peace and quiet.
Yeah.
I'm going to do the night shift at a mausoleum, which I'm pretty sure is where there's loads of tombs.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Isn't a mausoleum like a specific, like, specially made grave house kind of thing in a graveyard? But, yeah, just kind of.
Okay.
Right.
So he's literally pulling the graveyard shift because he wants peace and quiet, and he's gone to a graveyard and he thought, you know, nothing's going to affect me here. Lo and behold, all the dead people come back to life.
Uh-oh.
As ghosts.
Yeah, as ghosts.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Sounds like they need a lawyer.
And it just so happens that Ben Stiller's brother, brilliantly played...
Owen Wilson.
Yeah, by Owen Wilson, obviously, is a fully trained ghost lawyer.
Oh.
When you said, like, family-friendly and it was based in a mausoleum, I was thinking Burton's all over this. It's got Tim Burton all over it.
Mm-hmm.
But Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, I'm not sure Burton will be on board for that.
I'm seeing an Adams Family vibe.
Yeah?
Yeah. Which could work. A family, like, dark comedy. You know, like they get into, maybe do the Thriller dance at the end. You know they'll do that.
Oh, they love that.
Yeah, they'd love that, wouldn't they?
This was definitely made in the 90s.
Absolutely.
Oh, Eddie Murphy's one of the zombies.
Eddie Murphy's a zombie.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
Get her in.
Well, happy to include her in anything, to be honest.
She's in Ghost, funnily enough.
Yeah, she is in Ghost. Yeah.
And
she's also in Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Fuck off! Do you think we could go like two episodes without you mentioning Sister Act 2?
Well, it's the best title for a film ever. Our podcast is essentially funny names of film titles, but we'll never reach the heights of Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit. What I'm saying is, why are we doing this?
I don't know. Luke, what do you think was the best contribution this week?
Which wasn't my own.
Yeah. Oh.
No, in fact, your own in there.
Yeah.
Okay. To be honest, I've already forgotten. how did we get to the shark thing? That sounded pretty good.
I actually think the best one's...
Wasn't that Jungle Book?
Yeah, actually think the best one was Snakes on a Plane, Train and Automobile.
I did like that one.
So I think you're the winner, Luke.
Oh, wow.
Congratulations. What will you do with your £1 million check?
Oh, wow. Cash it.
Yeah, good idea. Good idea. Just don't do that until next week.
Wait.
We've got to clear some funds.
When you cash a check, do you literally just get the cash for it?
Hang on, mate. What world do you live in where you've never cashed a check? Who does that for you? Your butler? You've never paid a check in?
Yeah.
What happened?
No, but like, you don't... It just goes into an account.
Yeah, but that's cool. That's cashing a check.
That's what I was questioning. Like, what I'm saying is Luke doesn't have to...
This is your first language.
I'm just checking that Luke doesn't have to walk out of that bank with £1 million in cash.
Well, yeah, he does, and we'll be there to mug him. Because I can't afford to give him £1 million, mate. Well, thank you very much, Luke.
No worries.
Luke, if you'd like to plug your wares, please do so. You've got a lot of stuff going on.
I have, yeah.
Most of it legal. Some of it legal. Feel free to talk about it now.
Yeah, the first thing I'd like to plug is the other podcast I do, which is kind of a film irreverent kind of comedy podcast. It's not as good as this. I'll say that now.
Well, if you've enjoyed Luke's voice on this show, listen to that podcast. It's called
Filmageddon Film Quiz, and just Filmageddon. You can follow us on Twitter at Filmageddon Quiz, and yeah, just listen to us. We kind of do quizzes on the air as well, we kind of pit our wits against each other and guests.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, and the Filmageddon Film Quiz is actually a thing that happens every month at the Prince Charles Cinema.
It is, yeah.
So keep your eyes on the skies for that.
I think we need to go to one of those and show everyone just how little we know about cinema.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. That does mean spending time with you outside of this room, which, as you know...
Oh, we'll bring recording devices so that you feel like...
Please don't. We're trying to run a quiz here, mate.
Yeah, no phones or elaborate studio setups, please.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, this has been great, Luke. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
We'd love to have you on again at some point. Hopefully, we don't all lose our minds on that episode. I worked through a lot in that episode.
Anyway, Joel, I think we need to go.
Yeah, we need to go. Why is that, John?
Because there is... I'm going to do your role, yeah?
Have a go.
Oh, we have to leave the studio because there is a knock at the door, and it is... Oh, it's a bear!
It's a bear?
Joel, you've got so many questions.
I've got some questions for you, mate, so we better fade this down, because what I'd like to know, mate, is where do you sleep in the fucking winter? Why do you sleep?
Hold up.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.